Welcome to the Washington Updates podcast from the National Association of Health Underwriters. Taxes is a word of the week after the White House and congressional Republican leaders announced a tentative agreement on the sweeping tax reform package, as well as the introduction of five new pieces of legislation to delay several ACA taxes, including the Cadillac tax and health insurance tax. John Green and Chris Hartman join us on this week's installment to discuss everything that is happening as we rapidly approach the end of the year and the deadlines imposed to enact legislation. The House and Senate have merged their two tax bills, which will take up the Senate language to eliminate the individual mandate penalties. What should NAHU members be telling their clients about this provision?
Well, thanks for joining us this week. We should tell your clients that for 2018, nothing has changed. The penalties are in place for 2018. Everything that has been done for the 2018 year is baked in and as it's always been. So people are still required to have coverage and there will be a penalty if you fail to do so.
Yeah, so Congress is rapidly headed towards passage of tax reform and will be the first big success of congressional Republicans in the White House. Part of that will be elimination of the individual mandate, but John is right. The individual mandate penalty doesn't get zeroed out until 2019. So for 2018, everything's in place. So we're still in open enrollment for the individual market. People should sign up. If you do not sign up, you will be potentially open to getting that tax penalty. Or if you are not taking up insurance from your employer, you're open to that tax penalty. So for this coming year, the individual mandate is still in place and people should act accordingly and you should advise your clients accordingly. For the 2019 and the following years, it does look like Congress will be zeroing out the individual mandate, and we'll have to see the sort of effect on the market after that. There have been several different predictions of more people uninsured from CBO. Most of the carriers are telling us on their own internal estimates without the individual mandate, they will raise individual premiums by about 10%. And so that information is coming from the big carriers out there. And so I think that's what we'll be seeing in the following year.
The tax reform conference bill also retains and even temporarily expands the medical expense deduction. How will this new expansion work, and what is the long-term outlook for the deduction once the temporary expansion expires?
Yeah, so this was one of the controversial issues and differences between the House and the Senate. So under existing law, you can deduct your medical expenses if it exceeds 10% of your adjusted gross income. That's current law. The House bill came in and said, well, we're just repealing all the medical expense deduction. Shouldn't be necessary. Americans are going to get double the standard deduction, so that will take care of that. I think a lot of people pushed back and said, no, doubling the standard deduction doesn't really take care of that. If you need to deduct your medical expenses that already exceed 10% of your adjusted gross income, these are pretty high medical expenses. And so the Senate came back in their bill and actually not only did not repeal the medical expense deduction, but they actually made it easier for people to get. So now in the Senate bill, which we expect the language to be adopted in the conference, it expands this by reducing that threshold to 7.5.
Which was law prior to the ACA.
Yes, to 7.5 of the adjusted gross income. So this will allow more people than before to deduct those medical expenses. Now, there is one caveat. The way the bill is currently written, this is applying to 2017 and 2018. And then it sunsets. So this sets up a potential situation that we're going to have to address this issue in the near future if we want to continue to allow people to expense their medical deduction. I know agents and brokers have worked with individuals on expensing their deductions. So this is something that in the short term, more people are going to be able to take care of. But again, it's one of those things that we quickly to bring to an end, and so it's setting up a bigger debate in the coming years.
In fact, if this is an issue that you care about as an agent relative to clients that you serve, you should keep track of that, because if it's going to continue, we're going to need to go back up to the Hill and make that case. And if you have clients that have been affected by this, it's helpful for us to know just who and by how much this is important to your clients.
The other big tax items were related to extending delays of several ACA taxes, including the Cadillac and health insurance taxes. What role did NAHU play in this, and how will these delays work, already so close to the start of the new year?
I think it's first important for people to realize this is not part of tax reform. These are separate conversations. So tax reform involves all of the basic broad corporate tax rates, the individual rates, the changes that are going on there, different things from the estate tax, state and local tax deductions, tax credits, the standard deduction, all sorts of pass-throughs that are very also important for small agencies out there. That's tax reform. Then on the other side, we have this tax extenders, or end of the year package that some people are calling it, which includes several different areas of healthcare policy that we care about. The big three out there are the medical device tax and trying to delay that, the health insurance tax, the tax on premiums and trying to delay that, and the Cadillac tax. So those are the largest three of the healthcare provisions that are out there. This week, House Republicans introduced a series of five bills to address this, and I think it's kind of a beginning of a conversation on what should that end of the year package look like.
So they took a very different tack from what we thought they were going to do, which was to simply take the big three and give them all a 2-year delay. The device tax appears to be headed for a 5-year delay, which is the longest of all three. The Cadillac tax, they came in with something a bit interesting. They're only going to delay it for an additional year, but they're going to retroactively eliminate the penalty, the employer responsibility requirement penalty. Found that really an interesting, Chris.
Yeah, I think the retroactively eliminating the employer penalty particularly could be good as we start to hear about these penalties going out, particularly the Part A penalties that a lot of businesses are starting to get. I'm hearing now that even some Part B penalties are starting to go out, particularly in staffing companies. So to retroactively provide relief on the employer mandate for the past 5 years, I think, is something that people will be interested about.
But we still need the 2-year delay.
I was going to say, 1-year delay of the Cadillac tax really kind of just puts us where we are. We still don't have any regulations from the administration on how to actually do the Cadillac tax. A 1-year delay still puts us in the position that you agents and brokers out there will need to start raising deductibles, changing plans and others to fit under the Cadillac tax. It doesn't really buy us a whole lot of time. So going back to saying this is the first conversation, we're very hopeful that as this conversation continues, as it goes over to the Senate, as they invite Democrats to the conversation, that we could at least get this to a 2-year delay on the Cadillac tax.
So our strategy today is to ask the Senate to ask for an additional year on that. And then I think we're in a good place. Relative to the HIT tax, the premium tax, we've asked them to tweak the initial language because it doesn't appear that employers will get relief from the tax. The way they've written it, it suggests that individual employees will, but not employers. It's just some language issues. We've asked them to tweak it. We think that they will, but the clock is ticking, so we're on this every day to see where we are.
Yeah, so John's referring to a bill introduced by Kristi Noem that nicely delays the HIT tax in 2019, but to figure out what to do about 2018, as we all know, 2018 is only around the corner. The HIT tax hits individuals, small businesses, large businesses, seniors on Medicare Advantage and managed Medicaid. But the way the bill's written, it addresses each of those groups differently. And the question is how to get those rebates or money back to the consumers. The consumers be it the individual, the business owner, the employee of the business when they're paying their portion of the HIT tax. How do we actually get that money back to consumers? Because it's too late now, obviously, to lower the rates. But how do we get that money back to consumers? We've been working very hard, signed on to several different letters to Capitol Hill saying that you can't have a situation that small business owners are the only ones left paying the health insurance tax. If we're going to provide relief, we have to come up with a strategy to provide relief to all people paying the health insurance tax. And so we'll be continuing to push to either find a way to partway through that year, lower those premiums, or return checks to the consumer being it to the what you're paying as an employee or what you're paying as an employer. But that money needs to go back to consumers out there and not to be kept with either the carriers or the federal government.
We're also mindful of the administrative hurdles that you have to go through to provide a rebate, right? You have to track down former employees, and it's all very complicated. So that'll be a regulatory matter that we will try to make sure that the threshold for those rebates is such that it's not so low that it's an administrative nightmare for our employers.
Some of the other stuff that were involved in this package, like I said, was the 5-year delay of the medical device tax. There's also a 2-year relaxation to allow that HSAs and other sort of reimbursement accounts are allowed for over-the-counter medicines. So Lynn Jenkins has been pushing allowing you to use your HSAs.
Which, as you know, was allowed prior to the ACA.
To be allowed that for the next 2 years, which would be a nice part of the package. So you have Eric Paulson of Minnesota, who's nicely working with Jacqueline Warlarski on the medical device tax. Lynn Jenkins, who's working on this over-the-counter medicine idea for HSAs. Christy Noem, who's been working very hard on the HIT tax, trying to get 2 years delay. We're still trying to perfect and work on that 2018 angle of being able to get it back to consumers, even knowing what it's out there. Carlos Cobello is working also very hard on the health insurance tax and making sure that that money can be returned to consumers, particularly in Puerto Rico. And then what we've been working on for years now with Devin Nunes and Mike Kelly to provide that Cadillac tax relief, but also really provide relief from that employer mandate. And I hope we're now really moving in a direction that we can talk about removing the employer mandate altogether. As we know, 96% of employers were providing health care before the mandate came into place. The mandate itself has provided, I think, a lot of expense to employers in the reporting side of things, in the paperwork side of things. And so the expenses they're paying are not things that are going back to consumers. You're now spending money, and it's not going to your employees' health care. It's going to do all the processing of employer reporting. And if we could free up that money for employers, there'd be more money for HSAs. There'd be more money for employers to pay their percentage of premiums. And so we'll be continuing to work on that. And we're looking forward to seeing this package move forward. I think the real question now is, what's the next steps and who are they talking to? This package was all introduced by House Republicans, from my understanding. They did not talk to any of the House Democrats, but they also haven't talked to the Senate Republicans. So I think this is more of an introduction to start the conversation. And in the coming weeks, we'll have to see where this conversation is going. Now, we call this the end of the year package. But as we all know, the end of the year is coming up rapidly. So I think Congress might be deciding to redefine what end of the year actually means. So we might actually be talking about a package that passes in January, possibly even February, and they call that an end of the year package, because here in Congress we can redefine what any of these terms mean.
So not to make your head spin too much, but they also have to fund the government, and they'll have to do that through a continuing resolution due to the fact that they didn't get appropriations done and that sort of thing. And so there'll be a temporary continuing resolution that should go to the end of next week. And then there'll be a second, more contentious CR that will go into, they think, January 22nd or so, because neither side really wants to push into February. To Chris's point, at what point is it really an end of the year funding mechanism?
And I think one of the particular points for that end of the year package is something that NHU has been supportive of, which is the Children's Health Insurance Program. As we all know, the Children's Health Insurance Program came to an end a couple of months ago. States are continuing to operate it on fumes. But now notices are going out to telling people that they will be disenrolled from this. And so part of what really needs to happen very quickly is funding needs to be put into this program sooner than rather than later, or else we will end up in a situation where children don't have health insurance. We've ended open enrollment in the individual market. Children on CHIP are mostly not eligible for Medicaid. And so now you'll end up with a whole population of uninsured that will be now trying to find any options out there. So this has to really be dealt with sooner rather than later. And it's not something that we can allow the just kicking the can down the road.
Yeah, I think there's agreement to include it in the first CR and just get it done.
While NHU appreciates delaying the taxes to provide much-needed temporary relief, what are the long-term plans for these taxes, and how is NHU influencing this process?
So for both of these, we've been really working for repeal of the HIT tax and the Cadillac tax. And there's bipartisan legislation on both repealing the Cadillac tax and the HIT tax in the House and the Senate. And we have been working very hard to influence that process along with our agents and brokers out there. So when you participate in an Operation Shout and contact your member of Congress, that has an impact. And we need to let them know of the negative impact that the Cadillac tax and the HIT tax has on individuals, small businesses, and large, and how it's really a drain on resources of businesses, but it's also making healthcare less affordable for individuals. The HIT tax provides no real direct assistance. It's just raising costs to the premiums. And the Cadillac tax is not bending the cost curve the way others have described. It's instead going to eventually cause companies to either drop plans altogether or just raise deductibles for consumers. So both of these need to be completely repealed. We've worked social media. If you're not on Twitter, please join our Twitter account. If you're not on Facebook, please join our Facebook account. We are working very hard on each of those to press members of Congress to really provide us a permanent solution to these and get rid of these taxes that aren't providing any real benefit to healthcare. And they're just funds that go into the general revenue. You know, I talk to some people sometimes and say, well, we have to keep these. Otherwise, there's no funds for the tax credits in the exchanges. No, these taxes actually just go back to the general revenue. These are not funding the tax credits in healthcare.gov. They're not funding the cost share reductions. None of these go in those sorts of particular direction. And so these taxes, in our minds, need to be completely repealed.
One thing we haven't talked about and I just wanted to touch on is what happens to Alexander Murray and Collins Nelson that would fund high-risk pools. Senator Collins has been a difficult vote for Republicans to get, to say the least, right? So she said she would support the tax bill if she got a vote on those two items. And recent discussions that I've had indicate that she's going to get them. Now, when will that happen? Scheduling floor time and all that's very difficult. But she's been promised a vote on these. The issue is that the leadership in the House does not want to take those two measures up. But if you can say it did pass and we got those two things combined with a delay of the premium tax, together those three things could shave about 20% on average on premium. So when your approval rating in Congress is 9% and you do tax reform and people start to see the benefit of that, adding a 20% reduction in premium seems like a no-brainer to me.
As we approach the end of the year and look ahead to the new year, how would you summarize what has happened in the world of health reform? And what are your predictions for the year ahead?
So as Congress continues to work in the new year, I think it's obviously going to continue to be a bumpy road politically. But I think there are opportunities and things that we'll work on healthcare. John just talked about Alexander Murray, which provides cost share reductions and also makes it easier for 1332 waivers. I think looking at reinsurance from Collins Nelson will be continue to be part of that conversation. I think at the beginning of the year, as I talked about before, we need to really look at the Children's Health Insurance Program and getting that into place. Along with that, the community health centers that so many individuals use out there and something we've been part of. And I think there's going to be a lot around Medicare in the coming year. I really think Medicare is going to be an increasingly hot topic in Congress. For example, reauthorization of the special needs plans. We saw this year that the Senate passed the chronic care bill, which also creates some value-based design programs, a value-based healthcare, really paying for what works versus just paying in the fee-for-based old system of healthcare that we're so used to. NEHU has been very involved in trying to move away from that fee-for-service system. And so I think chronic care, particularly looking at the Medicare side, is something that will be very hot in the new year. I think NEHU has continued to work on making sure COBRA counts as credible coverage. I think that is something that people will be looking at in the new year. Part of what I think could even be at the end of this year or the beginning of next year is looking at how we notify people about Medicare and how are we actually getting that information to consumers. And legislation on the Bennies Act, where we're talking about how do we notify consumers about their Medicare turning 65, what they need to apply for. Part of that legislation requires actually involvement of health insurance agents and brokers in that process for reevaluating how we're letting people know. And so there's a recognition of the important role that agents and brokers are playing in that arena. So I think there's a lot coming up in the next few months in the beginning of the year, particularly around Medicare, Medicare extenders, what the Medicare rates will look like. I think that will continue to be huge for the new year. And then I also think there will be a conversation that comes back to traditional health insurance, the individual market, particularly if the individual mandate is going away, what are the new rates looking like for the new year? And how do we, again, bring stability back to the health insurance market?
In terms of Alexander Murray and Collins Nelson, it's likely to slip into January. Speaker Ryan has indicated that he doesn't really want to take that up this year. I have to admit, it's a crowded calendar for the last 2 weeks, which we're actually bumping up against Christmas holiday. They're already going to be here to the 22nd, more than likely. And depending on what they do on the CR, it could even go to Saturday afternoon of the 23rd. So they're here longer than they traditionally are. And some things will slip into the new year. But I largely agree with Chris's assessment for next year. We'll keep pushing for administrative fix on the MLR. As Chris said, looking for stability. There could be some Medicaid things. Speaker Ryan has indicated that he wants to do yet two more reconciliation bills next year, which has a lot of House members grumbling. But it's really been a roller coaster year this year. We appreciate all of your help with the Operation Shouts. It actually helped us get over 218 co-sponsors on the HIT tax repeal. And that's the kind of pressure we need to continue to apply. We look forward to seeing you guys come to the Capitol Conference to continue the conversation and to press for our priorities.
Yeah, I think as we continue to work in the new year, healthcare continues to be more important than ever. We've already heard Ryan, as John was talk about Medicaid reform. I also think Medicare reform, really overall, I think entitlement reform and the increased cost of entitlements are going to be part of that conversation. And how looking at entitlement reform, because the deficits are rising, to sort of look at drawing in those programs in order to reduce the deficits, I think will be part of Ryan's sort of message of the new year. So when those programs interact with Medicare, Medicare Advantage, Medicare supplemental programs or anything else like that, NAHU will be there and part of that conversation. So we look forward to everybody's engagement on these issues. And I hope that everybody continues to build relationships with their members of Congress so that you can really help them learn how the health insurance market really works. I think there's a lot of misconceptions out there. There's a lot of sound bites that politicians get, but you can really be the experts in this area.
That is all the time we have for today's podcast. I'd like to thank John Green and Chris Hartman for joining us this week for the Washington Update from the National Association of Health Underwriters. Thank you for listening.